Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
Bet.
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yapa, UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You wait me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl, who's a bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Love y'all. This is Miss Irritant, and you're tuned in to Off the giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, y'all. This is Stacey Lachey giving a shout-out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX stand up, Hud City was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
When that curtain goes down on your opening night, you're gonna hear a noise that'll shake that friggin' place.
Motherfucker, taking over the coming back. Hell yeah!
Bitch.
Well, life.
Shoot that!
Hill!
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 trembling blood upon the walls of the remains of my rival. 666
ways of survival.
Arrival of my dawn of evil underground, cause I'm more daylight till your skin. Motherfuckers move solely filling friends. Silver health has got the skeletons that killed the ruffian. Suffering the trembling.
Who's that?
I need you trembling, no question. No question.
I'ma catch 20 bodies on this one.
Don't do it, right? I'ma catch 20 bodies on this one.
Take that!
Yeah, what it do, y'all? It's your boy King Ed the Great, represent Screwball Radio, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Dirty Basement. And we are now tuned in at episode 336. I have my host in the building, T Max with the facts, coming
what
at y'all
do,
right
man.
Now.
What it do, King? Look, another Friday, OTC up in the building, and we ready to rock, fully loaded and locked, man.
Best and believe, man. We hit you with surprises out the gate on some Tory Lanez tip.
You know what I'm saying? We just hit you just like that. And I'm going to do this here. I got, because, you know, we got to get this introduction, man, because we got a legend on the line right now, man.
Yes, we do. Yes,
I got to give it the breakdown. I got to give it the breakdown for the squares that's trying to get onto this game, man. This show right here is a special one, man. Who we have on the line is a cat who Onyx took the industry by storm. I'm talking gold and platinum albums and brought a style to the table that many has emulated to this day. You've seen him in Strat. You've seen him in The Wire, Sunset Park, Ride, Clockers, Light It Up, Blade TV, and many more. And the cool part is he just getting started, dropping new music. And let's all welcome him to the show, Mr. Fredro Starr, a.k.a. Firestar, y'all.
Yeah.
Salute, King. It's popping.
Peace, God.
What's good, man? Now, before we get this thing started, man, we got to give you a round of ovation, man. Put respect on your gangster, man.
I just want to commemorate y'all brothers, man, on episode, what you said it was 300 and what?
336.
Damn, y'all putting in that work, man. You know what I'm saying? You got to respect that. You got to respect that, man. What's popping?
Yeah, man. Look, we're just humbled and we're blessed to have you on, man. Like King said, you know, you are a living legendary, not only in your solo endeavors, but what you did with Onyx as well. I mean, and in terms of, you know, a lot of people, you know, like King said, to really give the squares a lesson on how this circle runs across the globe, you know, you were one of those that, you know, what y'all did in that early 90s, of course, you know, with Redman, you know, EPMD, of course, The Business of a Person, what a Naughty by Nature did. Y'all really brought to that 90s era that just really, really defining that hardcore New York sound that, like King said, would lay the blueprint, man. I mean, you know, you're one of the most influential artists to ever touch the microphone. We're going to say it on the show, damn it, if nobody else does. You know, in terms of that whole, the style you brought, you know, the attitude, you know, just the whole persona and that spirit that really, really, I think, embodies what the culture is about, man. You know what I mean? I mean, we got to get right to
it's
it.
A legendary,
I mean, fellas,
it's
you know,
a legendary show, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like
yeah.
You just give it a legend. It's a,
let's get to
it's
it.
A legendary
you know,
show right here.
Go ahead.
Saying, you know, 30 years and hip hop is still, you know what I'm saying? So let's get to it.
Definitely, man. So, I mean, tell us all about how you started, you know, where you're from, you know, and just, you know, your sojourn into the game and just, you know,
that's
as you, you know.
That's gonna take all day, man. I'm going to just tell you like this, man. Look, check this out, man. I'm from Southside, Jamaica, Queens. That's what I represent. But I'm from Brooklyn. I'm a Brooklyn boy, you know what I'm saying? Born in Kings County Hospital, born in Brooklyn. Moved to Queens when I was in my teens, you know what I'm saying, and had big dreams to be a rap star, man. And I met Jam Master J. Rest in peace to Jam Master J. And, you know, we met Jam Master J. He's the DJ for Run DMC. If these young kids don't know who Jam Master J is, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace
right.
to Jam Master J. He's the godfather of hip-hop. So we actually met the godfather of hip-hop. And that's how we got in the game, man. Onyx, you know what I'm saying? Shout with Sticky Fingers. Son C, rest in peace to Big DS from Onyx, you know what I'm saying? We came in the game in 1993 with an album called Back the Fuck Up. And, shit, we sold like 4 million records out the gate, yo. That shit was just crazy.
When y'all drop, yeah, man, I mean, you know, like Dro, I mean, one thing about it, and me and King, you know, we're old enough to remember that time. And when you all dropped Back the Fuck Up, man, I mean, Throw Your Guns was like the first single that had come from it. And we were like blown away because we had never heard anything like that before. I mean, you know,
Show me a question. You was there for the Throw Your Guns movement, or you just Because was you there? Like was you a part of it? Because you might, you know what I'm saying? Might have been too young for that. You know what I'm saying?
More or less in terms of how I really, you know, of course, going back to my history with hip hop, you know, was of course Rap City, you know, MC, you know, Yo City Raps in a box for me. You know, so I, you know, when I first heard y'all, I was like, this was just something that was totally blew me away. And I mean, the lead single was there. When the album dropped, I mean, y'all totally hit a reset on what the game was. And really,
yeah,
I mean, just,
so,
it was a game changer.
When Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg was killing them. You know,
yeah, y'all brought the momentum.
You know, East Coast was popping, but Dr. Dre and them niggas, they was killing shit. And then we came out with our shit, man. It was just like, you know, it was just like, yo, this is what we got to do. You know what I'm saying? And that was it, man. We came out with Jay, and then that was it, man. When we came out with Jay, it was a movement. The whole Def Jam, everything was just moving. We had the whole Def Jam behind us, you know what I'm saying? And at that time, Def Jam was in a situation like them, like really, like Def Jam was like,
coming in? How you doing, Buck?
Def Jam was like, they was down 40 mil, you know what I'm saying?
Leave the keys inside and I park it. Put the car in park.
You know what I'm saying? So it is. We came in the game. When we came in the game, it was like, oh shit, we got Jay behind us.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a time when Def Jam came. You know, if you were on Def Jam, like that really meant something. So not only did you all have a banging ass album, you all on a label that was like, you know, the epitome of what hip hop was.
No doubt.
Definitely,
yo,
man.
On, bro.
So, I mean,
yeah, this is
yeah,
this
yeah,
yeah,
this
yo, 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 what up? I feel like I know you, man.
What's
up, right? What's up? The building?
Yeah.
Long Island in the building?
Right.
Yo, yo, Paul and Self, man. I'm with my boys.
You good,
shit.
You good.
Oh, what's this right here, man? The rum punch? Oh, we taking it back to Jamaica. I'm doing an interview right now, so you know what I'm saying. We're gonna talk some history.
Word.
What was good though?
Yeah.
Yeah. My man, listen. I'm gonna call you right back. All right? We got to do this interview another time, man. I'm in the middle of something real heavy right now.
Okay.
All right, that's a bet. Can I put like 10 minutes?
Okay.
10 minutes. I'm gonna call you right back.
Okay, okay.
All right, one.
Yeah, King.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
I mean,
we're
just
going to
wait
some
for
game.
Him to call back. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
we're
going
to
get some good game from him,
call
too,
back
man.
In. Yeah, but, I mean, in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
in the intern, in early intermission, okay, man. You know, look, I saw your post earlier on the book, man. What's going on with the Tory Lanez album?
I'm going to break it down for y'all what's going on. Now, what happened was he did a post last night on Instagram saying that 9 p.m. I'm going to tell my side of the story.
Okay.
So everybody was thinking he's going to go in there and basically go on Instagram Live like Megan Thee Stallion did and tell his side. Instead, everybody's waiting. And nothing came. Then all of a sudden, he just dropped that album out of nowhere. And he's just talking about everything from people trying to cancel him. He was talking about the situation that really happened with Meg, that he didn't really shoot her. He was addressing Jay-Z. He addressed Bun. He just Bun B on there. He was just basically going at a lot of his critics. But, you know, the cold part about that record was he's harmonizing the singer like he want her back.
Well, you know, like I said, like I put on your comments on the page, man, I was thinking that this was probably going to be a career killer for him. But like you said, you know, it's doing well. It, you know, we, you know, it's, we just got to look at it from a situation of what's going on with it right now. The reality is, yes, there are a lot of questions surrounding, you know, what him and Meg happened, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, the investigation is still ongoing. And Tory, over the past, you know, couple months, no pun intended, has had a lot of shots taken at him about how, you know, just what happened and how he's handled this. So obviously the man has some things, King, that he wants to speak on.
A lot will get off his chest.
Yeah, you know, I'm just wondering who's going to drop the diss track first. You know, Bun B or Jay-Z, are they both going to collab and double tag team? You know, so, you know, but it,
hey, Lanes is barking at some big gunners, man. I mean, and the surprising part about it is the music was actually pretty good. This coming from a guy that don't even check for his music like that.
Well,
so
there's always
it was surprising. It was surprising to me that it was actually pretty solid. And now it seems like he's controller of the situation. Now, at first, I was thinking this move is not going to work if the music isn't perceived as good.
Right.
But now, not only did the album go number one, it's critically acclaimed. So now it's putting pressure on the other opposition on getting the truth out there. Now, I want to know what people's thoughts are like. Now, what if Tory's telling the truth?
Bears a debate. It does. But that's something that, you know.
If he's telling the truth, I wonder what the energy's going to be.
You're right. And the thing is, there is so much, and, you know, this happened. Look, you know, we forgot to mention, King, that he clapped at Rick Ross, too, you know, and I was like, damn, I'm like, even at a time, I'm like, he even took a shot at Ross about the whole, you know, Breonna Taylor situation, talking about how Ross was not even really, like, you know, Ross a name drop from a lot of stuff on social media, but he was never one march or whatever. I'm like, I don't know, man. I mean, dude, I'm like, you know, I guess everybody, you know, 2020 has already been a strange year, to say the least, you know, being polite. But also, too, man, I mean, is this the year that all the celebrities decide they just want to go nutty? I mean, we got Tory using an album to air out his grievances, Jaguar Wright calling Mary J. Blige a lesbian now. I mean, Kanye with his presidential campaign.
Hey, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's like what's happening is people can't go out and do what they want to do anymore. So
right.
There's a lot of clout within exposals now. So, you know, people ain't traveling. People ain't doing what they want to do like that no more. So people got more time on their hands. And there's a lot of clout behind drama. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of clout to get behind drama. So everybody figured they got a story to tell, so they're going to push that to the max.
I mean, you know, look, I mean, but to see a lot of things go on, and like you said, King, you know, one thing about it, you know, what we've seen is when you have that slow down motion, especially when it's involuntary, like obviously, you know, the COVID situation has come, you know, it forces people to really, and one thing we've learned is, and I'm going to just be 100 with it, you're dealing with people a lot of times who do not necessarily deal with solitude very well, you know. And I think solitude is one of the most valued possessions you can have for peace of mind in terms of knowing how to not be in the limelight. And what we've seen in this situation with a lot of these, you know, celebrities is that silence is too much for them. You know, they cannot stand being out of the spotlight. You know, now there have been some incidents that have happened, of course, you know, that were not necessarily related, you know, that did not have anything to do with being in the forced isolation, but it just, I think it's just the whole energy in terms of what we're feeling that, you know, a lot of people just have to do things because they feel like they have to get themselves out there somehow. And, you know, I mean, look, I mean, well, I can't even say we wouldn't hear about it if Dre and his wife were getting divorced, because if this wasn't going on, we'd still hear about it. I mean, we're just seeing everybody's laundry getting aired out. I mean, it's like, man.
Oh, like everybody taking advantage of the non-activity at certain levels, but they still, find an audience. I'm like, how? I'm like, man, I'm like, it's something, ain't it?
I'm telling you, man. I mean, it just exposes the true animal within folks, man. Because when people are confined and they can't do what they need to do, so they figure, hey, let me get into this clout thing. Now, with the whole thing Mary J. and Jaguar, that just came out of nowhere.
You know, I really don't know how to feel about that because, like I said, and you know, this is off the cuff. You know, we say whatever comes, you know, into the conversation, but we also say things that we know have been documented and vetted, and that we know is true. I mean, this is like the Whitney Houston situation all over again. You know, where there was things said about Whitney secretly being a lesbian, and she married Bobby Brown to cover that up. You know, I mean, the situation with Mary J. now with Jaguar saying all this. I mean, and this is coming a couple months after Jaguar just aired out Common, The Roots, you know, everybody. And I'm like, you know, even if things are true, I still feel like at certain levels, if it's not pertinent in an actual situation of real relevance, it doesn't need to be put out there because it just makes you look messy. You know what I mean? With Mary J., do in her private life, that is her private life. And even if she was a lesbian, nobody gives a fuck. I mean, you know,
I'm gonna say this though, because this will be an interesting back and forth considering how hood both these chicks are.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Mary,
that's
straight
the get
out
down
Yonkers.
Right there.
Ain't no punks coming out of Yonkers, so she's Mary. I tell you one thing: is she gonna make that old 1992 hood Mary come out again? You know, but Mary's already a popular artist. You know, she's loved all over the world. I mean, her sexuality isn't gonna matter to anybody. You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of artists. You know, female artists in the game that have been speculated about their sexuality. Queen Latifah, you know, all of them. You know, it's not going to hurt her. And that's why my thing is why Jag would even say something. You know, this isn't, especially with the climate that we live in today of being a little bit more tolerant of people's orientation and their personal lifestyle. You know, this would have been taboo maybe 25 years ago, even 20 years ago. Now, that's a moot point.
Man, come on. You get extra clout doing that, man.
Look, I mean, everybody's still trying to recover from the bomb thrown at the Roots. I mean, we're still trying to wrap our head around her saying Black Thought didn't write his rhyme. You know, that Malik B basically wrote it all for him. I'm like, yo, it's just wild, man. So.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. It's just people just doing what they got to do, but. Going back to what Tory Lanez was saying, only time will tell because, you know, he actually made a smart move and capitalized off the situation. Now him and Rosé going at it.
Alcina.
Oh, his clout done dried up, homie.
He done. Look,
he done,
like,
bro.
Look, August was like, look, everybody was expecting that. Look, August got that buzz up. Everybody was expecting August to just drop the Drake bomb on them. And then that joint came out, and entanglements came out, and then the joint, look, it bricked like Chris Dudley on the foul line.
Right.
I was like, I'm like, yo, I'm like, all that for this?
In the video, wasn't even great either. Like, dang, dude. You built your campaign off of basically messing up another man's marriage and it ain't get you nowhere.
Well, one thing about it is about being a celebrity in the game is that it's a drug. The great Aaron Magruder, the creator of the Boondocks, once said, when you want to be famous, just stop talking. When you don't want to be famous, just stop talking. You know, and it's true. But when you have a lot of people, and when you look at especially music and any profession, it is a passion, but music is a very personal one because it is your personal expression. that you do have complete control over, it is a very, very, very intimate art. And for a lot of people to do music, to express themselves, they want to feel like that they're, that they have a level of celebrity and that they're going to put themselves out there by any means, whether by legitimate or illegitimate, whether by classy or by ratchet. It just depends on the individual. August, you know, when he came out on Def Jam years ago with his Downtown EP, you know, which I have, and it was dope. You know, August was that guy everybody thought was going to be the next big thing. And yes, the man, like Tory, he is legitimately talented. But then this whole thing with Jada comes out some months ago, and then, which I didn't think was necessary for him to bring to light. I did not think it was necessary because usually, like you say, King, we've seen this. We've interviewed hundreds of guests. We've done that more in researching and seeing articles in magazines. And we usually know when stunts like that come up, it's all about trying to drop a project, which even then I was like, even if you're trying to promote your project, this ain't the way. You know, but it got him the attention he wanted. And
that's a bad thing about building. If you're gonna build your campaign off being a scumbag, then at least make the music presentable.
Right. Yeah.
Like nobody talking about this dude's music.
And that's the one thing that a lot of artists I think don't understand. You know, it's like when we reference Tekashi a lot. You know, when you look at artists who give in on ratchetness, it is not authentic. The talent is what makes you authentic. The character you have is what's going to give you a continuation in the business, at least in respect with your fans. But when you compromise that with questionable behavior and outrageous and asinine antics to boot, people are just looking at you as a sideshow more than the main event. You're more as a spectacle than actually a must-see. And then in the worst case, you're a must-see spectacle because people are just waiting for you to see how ignorant you're going to be publicly. You know, Tory did not have to take, you know, that route he did on the album, although the music, you know, musically it was good. I mean, you know, August didn't have to do what he did. But there's also that thing in the industry we have seen, and when your plate goes, and when that serving of your merchandise go cold,
first off, little boy,
you know, you got to find a way to heat that up.
Respond is swift.
And here's the, I think I found some clips of Rosé going off at Tory.
Okay. Okay, King, let's go ahead
right
quick. Yeah. Okay.
Oh man, you know how it is with Instagram.
Take your time, King. Take your time. We got a little time. Take your time. Cause you know Ross won't gonna let that slide.
First off, little boy, I appreciate how you responded swiftly to Rosé, but that's how you should have did the sister that accused you of shooting. That's what you owe her family. That's what you owe all the black women in the world. First off, little boy, I appreciate it.
Well, look, King, you know what's going to come next. You know what the boss going to do in situations. But, huh? Boss going to drop that diss track on. Rosé gonna drop that diss track on him next. Look,
and the cool part about it is gonna be very listenable because of his production choice. You know what I'm saying?
Man, look, Rosé just dropped a joint a couple weeks ago, lad, that was fire. I'm like, this dude, I'm like, Rosé, you know, when we look at the situation and how that whole 50 Cent thing went some years ago, and Rosé basically, you know, handled it like a G. You know, over 10 years later, we can honestly say he really, really masterfully handled that. I mean, Tory, is Tory a good artist? Yes, he is. Is he Rose's caliber? I'll tell you one thing. We're going to see, because you know it's going to be the lines have been crossed now. So, and it's been crossed, especially with Tory saying something that did not have to be said in the first place. So, yeah, you know Boss ain't going to sit back and just take that. It's going to be interesting,
wouldn't it?
But we're going to say this for the audience. Nobody's going to get seriously hurt behind this. This is going to stay on wax. Nobody's going to get killed behind it.
Now here's another thing I want to shoot at, too, while we're here. Because there's a lot been going on in the culture within the past week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got to keep y'all in tune. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, because I'll be keeping y'all informed as of late with what's going on with that.
Right.
Yeah, y'all got to hit that subscribe and hit that like button for me. You know what I'm saying? So we can get them views
up.
So we can get them numbers up. So we can get that publishing.
So, yeah, Kings, will drop it on what's happening.
Let's see here. Now we have Lupe Fiasco saying that he's a better lyricist than Kendrick Lamar. And I did a video about that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Lupe, I'll put it like this. Lupe's a dope artist. You know, some people would feel that, unfortunately, in terms of how his career ran, you know, the label issues he had, he talked about this in XXL some years ago with his situation with Atlantic. Lupe is a dope artist, but when you look at Kendrick, I mean, Kendrick Lamar Duckworth he's just on another planet. And that's not to say that Lupe is trash, because he's not. You know, you hear songs like Superstar, Kick Push. I mean, the man is original. But, I mean, Kendrick is just on a whole nother level in terms of flow, subject matter, how he just expresses himself. And Kendrick has a vibe, has a appeal that is just far and wide. Lupe has his fans, but Kendrick just has a whole, I mean, it's unexplainable. It's just unexplainable that movement Kendrick has in terms of how passionate his fans are about him.
And you know what, though? See, this goes back some years anyway. Like, this goes back to probably about 2013. Because you remember when he dropped the Control joint that had the industry going crazy?
Yeah. Right.
Like, he had smoke for everybody. But, you know, for those who don't remember, Kendrick dropped a verse on the Control track that was featuring Big Sean and Jay Electronica. And he called out a lot of the people within his class. Most notably Drake. Drake, A$AP Rocky, Mac Miller. Basically a lot of people in his class. J. Cole. All them.
Right.
So around that time period, everybody was doing responses to that record. And Lupe, he did a record responding to that, but he didn't mention his name. But he basically just kind of like, you know, mocked some of his rhyming cadences and all that stuff. But it was never really nothing serious. So then Lupe, he kind of baited him again when he did the, I think he did an album, and he had a different, and he had a cover full of stars. And Kendrick, he did the same thing with, you know, the single that he dropped for the Black Panther soundtrack, All for the Stars. And Lupe called out, like, he called Kendrick out for biting. I remember we talked about this on the show when that happened.
Right.
Like, was it biting or not? So, it coming down to this now. And you know what needs to happen? I said this in the video. They need to go and just do a track together. I'm talking about some Meth vs. Chef type stuff.
Well, one thing about it is with Lupe is a very mercurial individual. he's a dope artist, no two ways about it. But Lupe has also been kind of known to be a little bit unpredictable in terms of his personality. And at certain levels, you never know. The general consensus with him in the industry is that you never know what you're going to get with him. You know, he definitely had his moments where in certain interviews that he's gotten out there and he's just, you know, he, people will be like, you know, what's going on with him? You know, it could be personal with Kendrick, which I highly doubt. And it could just be simply, you know, him staking his claim to maybe get Kendrick out there to, you know, because Kendrick, when you look at it, Kendrick has never really battled anybody like Tom Bobby, you know, in terms of having an open-end, like, conference with any other artist. You know, Kendrick, you know, has never had that problem. Kendrick is a light guy in the industry. So you're not going to see him really involved with a lot of that stuff. You know, but you never know. Some people, you know, when you're still at the top of the, you know, mountain at a certain level, and you got to remember, Kendrick hasn't dropped an album in, what, 4 years? So,
right.
You know, yeah, so it's like maybe Lupe looks at this as a way to maybe draw him out again. You know? Who knows?
Yeah, man, but I'm thinking that's what needs to happen to solve all this, is to solve it by letting the people decide, like letting them go on a track together, but the beat got to be hot.
Yeah.
You can't have two of the best lyricists on the track and the beat ain't knocking.
No.
You feel me?
You got to do something. The lyrical genius that both of them possess is serious. I tell anyone that. So you have to give them something that is worthy of both of them being on it together to really, really, I think, capitalize off of the skills immensely that they do have together. That's absolute. You know, but that's something that at the fundamental core of hip hop, King, that's what it's all about. You know, letting your skills speak for themselves. Matter of fact, a lot of times I think we lament in the culture that's not happening enough. You know, everybody takes to the social media and they want to say a whole bunch of crazy shenanigans, but nobody can just jump in the booth and actually do something. You know, it's like, look, you know, if you got problems with somebody, get in the booth and talk about it. You know, this is music before anything. You know, so if you're really as nice as you say you are, you know, you have an outlet. This is, you know, the last time I checked, this is the good old United States of America where we have a First Amendment, you know, free speech right. You know, so if you feel like you want to say something mm-hmm. within reason, go say it. No, nobody's going to stop you from saying what you want on wax. You know, so go say it.
Now, the way I would see it, too, I would see it like, first of all, the beat got to be knocking, and they got to do a real fly cover art for it. Like, it got to have,
yeah.
like, an old-school karate-type thing or something. You know how them old Kung Fu movies look
Kung
back
Fu,
in, the,
Kenny and
in
Lupe,
the 80s?
Because people forget, yeah, Kung Fu, Kenny, and Lupe, because people forget Lupe is a real martial artist. He is a real martial artist, no cap. He really is. For those that don't
so
know,
they need to put that
we'll just
together
say this for you. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
you know
I
who
mean,
I would choose to produce the joint? I'm going to tell you who I would choose to produce the joint.
Who's that?
Ready for this one?
Derringer?
RZA.
That would be dope to see here Kendrick and Lupe over a RZA track.
Yes.
The problem is, which RZA
but it
we going to
get?
Gonna get
it got to be, if it's see, for RZA, it got to be,
we
got to be
95,
some of that,
yeah,
that classic shit.
Yeah, we got to have the 1993 through 97 RZA. We got to have that RZA.
Like, I don't want to hear the RZA from recently with the guitars and stuff. You need some of that. I don't want to hear none of that hippie stuff. We got to hear that RZA from the Cuba Lee's Liquid Swords type era stuff. That's what we need.
Yes. Yes. We need the RZA that was in the creative space when he lost, rest in peace to those beats he lost in the flood in 1995. We need that RZA. We need those RZA beats. But I think it would definitely be good for the culture, you know, and it definitely shows today. it would show that, you know, today that there is still a an emphasis on really, really, really bringing to the forefront skills, you know, and like I said, just having a collaboration of it. You know, so yeah, I'm all for it. And speaking of people who basically were kind of who went on to do other things in terms of their music selection, what's going on with Machine Gun Kelly doing a pop rock album?
Machine Gun Kelly is cooked, and I want to say for them bold busters stands that want to flood my page still with this nonsense. Look. I ain't talk about this weak beef in almost a year now. Y'all still want to flood my page with this nonsense. But I say keep on disliking. Keep on disliking it. Y'all giving up. Y'all empowering us. I had one of these losers today trying to hit my line talking about, you don't know nothing about hip-hop. Machine Gun Kelly does rock. I'm like, man, I don't care about that shit. I'll be sitting back listening to that dude. Y'all chiming in on a video that I did in January. What is it, September now? Come on now.
Well, there's gonna be certain. There're gonna be artists that elicit a certain type of response. The Machine Gun does have his fans out there. The Eminem situation, like we talked about, that was unnecessary. That was not.
I'm gonna go ahead and say Eminem finished them all. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. That's for people to listen. He finished it. Got your boy out there clout chasing with Megan Fox. Trying to get an entanglement storyline to get clout. Eminem Marshall finished that boy. And the niggas can call right now and I argue with him to his face, man. Like, look, he's done out here.
Oh man!
I said this to him, if y'all had that type of energy to support him, he wouldn't have flopped. Y'all come up with all this smoke on my page, but at the same time, y'all ain't giving no energy. Y'all ain't giving my man no stream.
Yeah, and I think that that's something a lot of people really got to understand at a certain level, because an artist is only going to be good in the context of, in terms of popular, as long as the fan base is there. You know, and that's something that I think a lot of people really, really, really have to get. You know, my thing is, you know, they're going to be artists, you know, that we like. They're going to be artists that we don't like. They're going to be artists people like. They're going to be artists they don't like. But the artist, I tell anybody, you know, the artist that you like, no matter who it is, you know, whether it be Black Youngster, you know, to Griselda, if you like them, support them, buy their music. Because what happens is ultimately, we've been doing this, King, so we know how fickle the industry can be and how, you know, once your time is up on it and you don't have that popularity no more, you know, it's different, you know, and a lot of the times, you know, it's because the fan base can be so fickle. You know, Machine Gun's been in the game really about, what, 10, 11 years. And on one hand of it, he did have a big buzz, you know, coming out. I mean, look, the dude came out on Bad Boy, you know, and that's not bad in terms of having that type of momentum, that marketing behind you. But the reality is,
right,
the album has to move. And with Lace Up wasn't a bad album. You know, it was, you know, but it was, I don't think it was that generational defining opus that I think they had anticipated. Does it mean the album was trash? No. It just means that it just didn't hit like they thought it would. And there are albums that are underappreciated classics like Rathcast's Soul on Ice. It was released in 1996, one of my personal favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's albums like, you know, Lace Up. It was, you know, good for its time. You know, it didn't, like, totally, like, it wasn't like they were like, he need to stop rapping, but it didn't get that punch that was going to cement him as being that next level. And that's just what it was. you know, like I said, you know, when the album doesn't, you know, sometimes hit, artists are going to resort to other tactics to get themselves out there.
Now, I'm not no hater, though. Rap Devil was dope. That was a dope record right there. I'm not no hater.
Yeah.
So that's why I understand why these people have so much smoke for me. But I'm like, look, man, I never hated on Rap Devil. That was one of the dopest diss records to come out in a minute.
Right.
But it wasn't what Marshall brought to the table, and that was that.
When he dropped Kill Shot, that was like... You knew him, Marshall, and one thing about it, you know, Eminem, you know, we just have to put to rest all the haters from everyone who still have an issue with him being white and being arguably better than half of the black MCs out there. We just got to put it out there. The color does not matter. The fact is, he's dope, period, you know, and he's one of the best out there, you know, and the fact is, you know, that's where a lot of the hate came from, albeit unjustifiable. But one thing about it with Eminem, and we have seen this throughout his career, Eminem is a relatively quiet guy in terms of his music, in terms of, you know, what he, you know, he's not that guy that goes out looking for trouble. Does he get out there expressing himself? Yes, he does. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be Eminem. But one thing about it, Eminem never actively has gone out there trying to pick anything with anybody. That's never been him. Maybe his mom's and his baby mom.
No.
That's a different. But other than that.
Or Mariah.
Yeah, Mariah too. But M has never made it a point to go out and just go after anybody. That's not him. But I tell anybody, M is not that dude that's going to back down either. You throw a smoke bomb at him, that dude's going to bomb your house with a lyrical bazooka. That's just how Marshall gets down. You know, you call
exactly.
It out with him. He's gonna respond, and he's not gonna be nice.
And it's not gonna be, and it's not gonna be on no Instagram, nigga. It's not gonna be on no tweet. That's why I was telling these people. It's not like he's gonna jump in the booth. I mean, not jump in the booth. He ain't gonna jump behind Instagram and just rant. You gotta bring your skills to the table.
Him's going to go in the booth and he's going to let you have it, you know, and even then, but you know, dog, what makes it so dangerous with him, him is calculated, you know, the situation with Nick Cannon, you know, and on his newest album, and on the album he dropped Music to be Murdered By, he dropped some subliminals at Nick, but it was nothing overt, you know, it was nothing that it was like, direct per se, like it was like he was just going to let Nick, he basically said some of those verses just basically letting Nick know he heard what he said, but he wasn't going to pay a whole lot of attention to it. But one thing about it is that a man that has control of his emotions, because when a man lets those emotions go, when he lets that bomb drop on you because he's had enough of you, that means you pissed him off, because that means, you know, he's not, I mean, you know, Machine Gun pissed him off to the point he was like, I'm going to end this dude's shit right here. And he did. You know.
And look at the result.
Nick Cannon, yeah. I mean, had Machine Gun tap dancing in front of the record company on the table. I was like,
I don't care what any of these weirdos say. That's an L right there. I'm like, man, look. It was an L when Black Youngster did it. It was an L when Bobby Shmurda did it. It's a big L for him. I just don't like the concept of dancing on tables for execs. You don't see Prince of Life doing that.
Yeah, and you know, this is not a race issue when we speak on it, because, you know, of course, these are black and white guys that did it, because to me, what that shows is, no matter your position of it, you know, you know, no matter what color you are, when you do stuff like that, it's like you're literally showing the record company you're a slave for them. Like, you're going to tap dance for them, you know, and that's something that I don't care what color you are. You never lower yourself and your integrity as an artist to basically be nothing more than a minstrel show for these labels. You know, you're an art, you know, especially in this day and time with the way social media works.
you know, you have an outlet if shit really gets rough for you and you're really not having the type of dealings with the labels you would like, go out and do it yourself. You know, we're in a time right now between Spotify, Apple, Tidal, you know, that piff, you know, Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter, you know, YouTube, just put out your music yourself. You know, you don't necessarily need a label. But a lot of times they want to try to play up to these label execs, and it's not always a good deal to do that. You know, some you have to stand on your principles of an individual and be like, you know, I'm going to be respected, and y'all are going to respect me, or I leave. You know, but the fact is with Machine Gun doing this album, if he wants to do a pop, you know, pop rock punk album, that's fine. You know, that that's what he, if he feels that's where his musical direction is, or did he just totally lose, or did he fall into that sunken place where he totally just lost direction of what he wanted to do? You know, but you know, King, we've seen this over the years, how this industry, you know, will chew you up and spit you out, and the stuff that it'll just mess your head up completely.
Right.
You know, we've seen how a lot of people, you know, I mean, you remember that dude, Houston, that song, did sing that song, Guy Like That, years ago?
Yeah, they wanted to do the gouge his eye out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, you know, we don't know what these dudes be going through behind the scenes. You know what I mean? You know, Waka Flocka went on his debut when he talked about fuck the industry. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that go on.
You know, to put it that way, to put it in vague terms, all the glitters ain't gold.
Yeah.
People don't know to understand the day-to-day operation of what's happening with this game.
Yeah, they really don't. And I think that's where a lot of artists, you know, when you're looking at situations, it's about what the label feels is going to sell. You know, Tory, is Tory still signed to his label, or is Tory a solo artist? Or is he
said he's
independent.
Now, he also said on one of those records where he said that he feel that they're coming after him because he got his masters, and he's comparing Michael Jackson to Prince. I was like, okay, now you throw the Hotep dude some bars. I see you. Can't knock the hustle.
And, well, I mean, you know, King, we're gonna how I feel about the Hotep hooey. So we're just gonna speak on that right here and right now. Once again, for all y'all Hotep hooey's out there, Michael Jackson and Prince were not murdered. And even if they were, y'all can't prove it. Drop the mic. Now, you know, one thing about it is that everybody's getting on this wave about talking about ownership, but we've always talked about ownership in general. On this show, we've talked about it. We've heard artists speak in general about ownership. This is not some new concept. And everybody tries to act like this is some type of epistle of wisdom about they just finally woke up about how important it is to own yourself. Eric Sermon was talking about that years ago in XXL Source magazine. He was talking about how at one point he couldn't use his name because Def Jam, you know, had the rights to his real name. You know,
right.
I mean, this is not,
it's not a new conversation.
Exactly.
It's a conversation
I mean,
that needs to be taking place.
Right. Right. But I'm like,
it's nothing
Tory,
new
you're
under
not
the sun.
Michael Jackson. Yeah, and I'm like, exactly, King. And I'm like, and I would tell Tory, you're not Michael Jackson or Prince. You're not those guys. You know, so
I can even see it being Chris Brown, because Chris Brown is one of the hottest dudes in the game still.
And they said Chris owns his music now.
Yeah, they ain't going to put no target on your back, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's like... I think it's him trying to, you know, cater to his base. I mean, it's a part of, you know, the appeal.
Right. We agree.
I don't knock it. I mean, history has shown many times that a lot of these labels on white women, you know, artists boss up and own their stuff. But I don't think Tory Lanez is going to be one of those guys that, you know, the secret societies are going to try to target. Like, nobody gonna lose sleep over him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of times, too, you know, and I tell artists this, too, there's a difference between really, because one thing about it is you want to keep the conversation strictly about your music, stands the foolishness, you know, with all the self-righteous stories about how, you know, you're this, you know, you are this figure that they're these clandestine dark societies are after because you speak the truth, or, you know, you're not afraid of the establishment. I'm like, okay, let's get off the high horse here, because a lot of times, you know, it sounds good to try to beat your chest about how real independent you are. The reality of it is nobody is 1,000% independent, you know. Even an artist who's
nobody in the world.
Independent.
Everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody has his boss.
Exactly. I'm like, when he's dealing with an independent artist, and I'm going to break it down on this game right here, which is as fundamental as it is cold. Even if you're an independent artist, you're not independent because your fan base is what pays your bills. You can be independent all you want. If you ain't got nobody paying you for it, then what are you?
Everybody works for the consumer.
Exactly. You know, and then
the consumer is the boss.
Exactly. And the market is dictated, and the music is dictated, and the market dictates the music. You know, whether you are the consumer or the CEO, the CEOs make the decisions that they know is going to make the money, just like a consumer is going to buy what they like. And, you know, for Tory to try to get out there, I get it. You know, he's been feeling himself. He's had enough short jokes thrown at him. He feels like he's got to stand up and man tall on him. And I'm like, you know, that's fine if you feel like you have to defend your name. But my thing is just be responsible. Actually make sure that it is rooted in some type of merit when you do it. You know, but that's all. You know, but
but check this out. We about to go ahead and take a little intermission. I'm going to, by the way, play some music. Got to play some good stuff, so get a little music break. And I'm gonna take y'all back on this joint here, because I actually did a video about this the other day.
Okay.
I'm going to play Cannabis's Buckingham Palace.
Oh, Lord, he really going to take it back.
Take it back where bars mattered.
Oh,
so,
yes.
The call number is 1-516-531-9596. So we're going to be back at it, chopping it up. If Fredro Starr call up, hey, we're going to continue with it. But if not, much love to him, man. We're going to definitely get the interview down at another time. I know most likely something came up in the middle. So, you know, and usually he doesn't blow interviews.
Right.
So we hope everything is all right with him. So... this is Cannabis Buckingham Palace. I'll be back with y'all shortly, about 10 minutes.
Yep.
Hey, yo, I stand outside the gates of Buckingham Palace, selling reefer, puffing the trilus with the beef eaters. Getting so high that whenever I drop shit, it'll land on the window of your airplane cockpit. Cannabis with that hot shit, crazy hot click. Niggas is bloody idiots, thinking they can stop this. I'll increase my strength to a superhuman extent. Nigga, your rhyme ain't worth 6 pence. And if you can hear, smell, see, touch, and taste, then you don't need 6 cents to feel me punch you in the face. From Brixton to Clapham Common, my lyrics invade Europe like Joseph Stalin and murder niggas for rhyming. Spitting fire with gasoline for saliva. As drunk as Lady Diana's driver with reporters behind her. Alcohol in the hands of a minor. I got you panicking like bombs with 30-second timers. Clear the building, evacuate women and children. Fuck what you feeling, nigga, I came here to kill him. Straight shitting from New York to Great Britain. And when we do shows, we make the queen pay your mission. When I say can I, you say bust. Can I,
bust.
Can I,
bust.
Yo, when I say can I, you say bust. Can I,
yo,
yo, can
yo,
I,
bust.
worst for the worst. This next verse is the face of death. Me without lyrics is like a porn flick without sex. Illmatic. My lyrical skills are Jurassic. For more flavor than Skittles when I digitally master. I go off like a cannon and blow up the planet with no fear. Like them close white boys be wearing. I'm tough as the denim. Lethal like venom and snake bites. The marijuana makes my eyes bright red like brake lights. There ain't a party I couldn't rock, believe that. There ain't a microphone brave enough to give me feedback. I'm strong, my word is born like James. Niggas be trying to test, but they weak like 7 days. MCs run away when I kick it. They act so chicken, they should come with a large drink and a biscuit. My style's radioactive, massive, atomic. I plan to push the earth in front of Haley's Comet. Breaking the facts of life down like 2D. I'm raw like sushi with more vocab than 3 fucking Fugees. So recognize or be hospitalized, cause lyrically on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm 25. When I say can I, you say bust. Can I?
Bust.
Can I?
Bust.
Yo, when I say can I, you say bust. Can I?
Bust.
Can I?
Yo,
yeah. A little bit of weed and some Hennessy got me ready to set it with kinetic energy. See, I need much more energy than my enemies if I want to make more bills than Bellamy. So I could be on MTV with women constantly telling me I resemble Billy D. I make fly rhymes to get my name on the scene. Then when I'm on the scene, I do shows to get the green. Then I take the green, buy an automobile machine for that thing on page 43 in Jet Magazine. Cannabis is the ultimate executioner's dream. Swinging the guillotine, cause whenever the head is severed from the human body with a sharp enough weapon, the brain remains conscious for 10 seconds. Long enough for me to give you one last message. And when you get to hell, you can tell Lucifer, I said it, don't ever get it confused. Fucking with cannabis, the human Rubik's Cube, like you got something to prove. Yo, whoever grabs the mic after me, get booed. Get everything in the club, throw it you and your crew. From a wet bottle to bar stools, fruits and food. You got an album out, you get hit with your CD too. Running outside, crying, lying, denying that you ain't the gay rapper, but you got fuck pride. What's the difference? Y'all niggas still ain't in lyrical fitness. Too busy mixing your business with your bitches. While I be in the lab composing forbidden scriptures. So wicked, I got Satan ejaculating on his fingers like Dirk Diggler. In the middle of boogie night, sniffing white, living the hype. He ruined his life, but I'm an MC of a different type. Yeah, that's right. Make sure your shit is tight or I'ma snatch your mic. When I say can I, you say bust. Can I?
Bust.
Can I?
Bust.
Yo, when I say can I, you say bust. Can I?
Bust.
Can I?
Bust.
Before I dim your lights and end your life, attempt to defend your life. It's punches when I write like the paper and pen was in the fight. All I do is win in life. I gotta rub it in like shampoo. You not gonna do good in here. You weren't conditioned right. Listen, I play my position right. I'm from the slum. I bought his daughter up cause y'all thought the boy was tough. Yeah, I bought her up cause the boy nut. I ain't come for fun. It's 2 reasons why I don't give a fuck. So listen up. I brung a gun. The strap on my waist, not a cummerbund. I pull it out and wet shit up. If I'm pissed, that's number one. You was young and dumb as a youngin'. I wasn't dumb as you. If you move, bow, I'm with the shit, that's number 2. Assholes, get bullet or stab holes. I brung a crew in here to make you fall off track like hoes bundles do. You the animal, is you from the jungle or from the zoo? The gun I brung for you make your guts fly, stomach flu. I could rap, it could rumble too, think this God factor. I'm flamey, came gassed up, this a fucking fire hazard. I was born with the name Bars, I'm a die rapper. I buy tobacco and light a loud firecracker. The dro I smoke is called scoliosis. It got me twisted, prescription and straight backs, I'm a chiropractor. The feds got me fed up, fuck the wiretappers. I'm a guy that rather live life angry than die laughter. If you the guy I'm after, of course I'ma spark a shot. Get caught in the parking lot, leave a corpse in your parking spot. Dog, you not in my pedigree, you obsessed with me. Hey, since you met with me, you couldn't stop sweating me. You definitely cannot mess with me, and I'm so convinced. You never raced in a race, you never drove a Benz. Fuck all the dough you spent, yo, against conceited you was sweaty. How you bought Burberry but no deodorant? And how you got him so convinced using gun bars with a juvie? Gun charge, no homicides, and no attempts. You never had to fight a case and build no defense. Facing doing life upstate and you still show your strength. It's so intense, they recommending a deal. Cause they got witness, co-defendants is beginning to squeal. You rather snitch, I rather went on the pill. Your parents knew they had a bitch before your birth, the first gender reveal. I still don't know how being feminine feel. I grew up different, went from COs to POs, holding the cup, pissing. My life a movie, I'm cut different, directors edit. Act up, I shoot and make a scene, no director's credit. It's
is extra hectic. You locked in jail till you out of jail. I was stressed the second I got to jail when they locked the cell. You never got the cell powder smell or gunpowder smell. Plus you washed up, it's a clean body, shower gel. I can smell, you ain't got a fresh out the shower smell. You gotta been in the gym for a couple hours smell. I got the OG Kush mixed with the sour smell. The smoke in your building been bushed since when the sour smell. My buddy got shot on top of his gray flower cell. Buddy in a box and he can't tell how the flowers smell. But I could tell that you cats pretending. You ain't got a pistol with you, I'll pistol whip you to the ratchet bending. Cats act like they actually winning, but actually women. This first nuts and this joke sucks, happy ending. If we scrap, I'm winning, a nigga could box. But you know how I roll ratchet when the triggers a pop. You ever heard a bitch nigga get shot? In the way that man yell, you can't tell if it's a nigga or not. These snakes cold blooded even if the temperature hot. So keep your heat before they make your body temperature drop. They got time, they taking risks like a Switzerland watch. Sticking sweet niggas up, fuck the insulin shot. You diabetic, what symptoms you got? Cause the guys that make sure you die be these niggas sent to your spot. If I spend a couple bands, you get instantly rocked. They buy drums and play with sticks for their own instrument shop. If I don't know what type of tensions you got, I can't trust you. Act smack, I punch you on the backhand of the damn knuckle. I hand to hand hustle, push weight from the damn muscle. Rubber band man on that tight zip cause I can't struggle. I had yayo to grind, now I own the clothing line. If I could sell a key, I could sell a tea. I grand hustle. My fam hustle, we got lawyers, fuck it. I keep two tiny ratchets, I name Monica and Latoya Luckett. The boys I fuck with, it grip the toast. And if they ever in the bing, they'll never sing. But on a different note, they'll get you smoked like the weed man. They'll start to spray out the blue and you get air like a Febreze can. You need bands cause all the stuff in the mall costs. I need land, I wanna know how much the whole mall costs. Bitch, you ain't gonna do shit but tip the law off. Snitch, call the law, then erase the shit out your car law. But forget the law, dog. This thing on my waist will still ring even if I switch my incoming cars off. Charles, I knew you fell, nigga. You talk your shit, but when you start to spit, I smell a doo-doo smell, nigga. I heard when you with new nails, nigga. She stick a finger in your butt, your doo-doo under new nails, nigga. And you can tell niggas trying fake it to win. Hydro got my eyes low, no relation to gin. You straight thug when you tasting your hen, but a fake thug could taste blood, take slugs, and never taste shit again. You make too many mistakes with the pen. You suffocate him till he died, he can't get suffocated again. Beasley told me that he need me on the stages again to demonstrate how to bark a nigga's faces again. If you a star, start making a friend. You shiny, look up in the galaxy to see the type of space that you in. They lied and said I have relations with men. Nah, I'm the guy that criticized the feminization of men. They spreading false information again, hating again, making shit up to discredit my reputation again. Niggas claim to be homophobic, but didn't believe a story cause a homo told it. This an easy case to defend. Man, a trend gotta fake it to win. I been straight like 6 o'clock, we not gonna have this conversation again. I'm wrapped out, I doubt he know the situation he in. He gonna rest in peace, get awake, but never wake up again. I couldn't wait to see his face in the end. I just smoke goods, I'm about to smoke a wood, celebrating my win. And I shoot your building up Fortnite. Front, get lit up right from the door, cold word, porch light. You owe child support, right? Why you look bothered? Let me find out my son Goods is not a good father. Goods, I should rob you. What type of man is you? I don't sleep, I go OD, no Z's, cause I'm an animal. I'm good with the hammer too. Goods fall in line for the baldies and the nine. Be the next thing that cross your mind, cause you cross the line trying frame cash. I need apologies to get rocked with a bald head. Dang dash. I'm quick to bust, but never came fast. I'm fly, but they praying on my downfall, airplane crash. Your lame ass don't run a business, man. You just run your mouth, but bitch, if the gun was out, you would've been them ran. I grabbed the mag, once it's in the hand, I gun butt his mouth. Y'all saw him biting ass on his Instagram. You been a fan, me and you the new M and Stan. You was playing 2K in my van, remember, man? I been the man. All the money that I made off trees, all the green, I was stashing a box of Timberland. I send my boo OC, you see the vision, man. I get it tan on my toes still, I got a business plan. You lift the can and hold still, better hold the still like my dentist hand. You don't know the drill, switch your dental plan. I ain't finished, man. I could smack a punch, a clap a bunch of toasters, or I could poke you more than getting acupuncture. I never had a jumper, but I shoot the tray, and I'm a great shot. You get a face shot if you don't move away. Or spot your truck, red dot your truck, let the quattro bust and leave hella shells in your whip like it's a taco truck. I made your stock go up, little nigga. I order make your daughter mother swallow her brothers and little sisters. I call you a little nigga, cause when I look in your eyes, I can see a whole lot of bitch and a little nigga. So little nigga just admitted I'm dope, bitch, I'm the GOAT, and they heard that corny shit that you wrote. This just a couple more bars so you can know you got killed. I'm 5,002-0.
Hey, come at the man. chilly, chill the last OG. I be mobbing through these cold streets. Like a jacket boy, I hold heat. You a crumb, I'm a whole key. It's chilly, chill, Lynch Mob OG. I'm as real as it's gonna be. All the real niggas, they know me. I back your brawl like an OC. It's chilly, chill, the last OG. The last OG. The last OG. The last OG. It's chilly, chill, the last OG. The last OG. The last OG. The last OG. It's chilly, chill, the last OG. We on the west trying to get something. And ain't stopping till we touching something. A lot of niggas ain't got nothing. On some bullshit, ain't about nothing. We on the west trying to get something. And ain't stopping till we touching something. A lot of niggas ain't got nothing. On some bullshit, ain't about nothing. I'm as smooth as Anita. Short day or some blue suede Adidas. West Coast on my dinky coat. I'm a G. You niggas don't want smoke. Tracks bound like a dispensary. Jaws drop when them niggas mention me. I'm a low, so I'm wearing lows. Still bouncing on them honey folks. Money is my best friend. Second best, Madonna's vegetarian. Survive hits like a mob boss. It costs time, so a nigga time costs. See a nigga eyes were like a slot machine. Diamond in the back, so I got to leave. 40s in fists when I slide. G's up, hoes down, it's the best side. We on the west trying to get something. And ain't stopping till we touching something. A lot of niggas ain't got nothing. On some bullshit, ain't about nothing. We on the west trying to get something. And ain't stopping till we touching something. A lot of niggas ain't got nothing. On some bullshit, ain't about nothing. Oh, shambling out my hen. That's right, my niggas, I'm drinking again. Pass the triple stacks, I'm popping again. If you niggas trying to trip, I'll be popping them. Suicide doors on my 64. West Coast do the most, we gon' get the dough. It's loot to be got, I'm gon' get some more. Running in and out you hoes like a liquid stove. This round's on a big dog. Got dick or dope for the dick bras. What's money to a real nigga? I ain't a house or a field nigga. Heavy starts on the steel toes. Blue faces and some real gold. Hella ice and some hella spice. Bitch, I'm tight, I ain't not nice. We on the west trying to get something. And ain't stopping till we touching something. A lot of niggas ain't got nothing. On some bullshit, ain't about nothing. We on the west trying to get something. And ain't stopping till we touching something. A lot of niggas ain't got nothing. On some bullshit, ain't about nothing. I got thoughts bigger than your moves. I got a heat to blow you out your shoes. You can twerk, I'ma twerk this cash. Twist this weed while you twerk your ass. I'ma make it either way it go. I'ma get it, nigga, use a hoe. Bitch, I love the dope. More than you know. Y'all niggas dress like bras. Wearing skinny jeans, now that's odd. I'm original and digital. Put you on scale and collect my residuals.
Yeah, we back at it. Off the Cuff Radio. That was my man Chilly Chill from the Lynch Mob called The Last OG. And I had to follow that up before with that, with Cassidy's joint and Cannabis, of course. So the best music lives here. I'm gonna go ahead and say it.
That it does, that it does. I mean, when you're listening to Cat, all three of them, man, I mean, they give the blueprint about what real lyricism and bars is about. And it crosses, you know, it just crosses all ages. I mean, the fact is, you know, when you commit yourself to the craft of, you know, composition on the microphone, you know, nobody can criticize when you know you got it right. And those dudes are, they're legendary in terms of what they've done, you know, even with Cannabis, you know, maybe his career didn't, you know, go the way people thought it might, but Cannabis is still, you know, for what he did, he's a legend in terms of how, in terms of what, you know, we did see when he was on it. You know what I mean? Cassidy and Chill, you know, I mean, you know, it's like, that's just what it is.
For real. Now, one more topic I want to touch on before I bounce. We all we got to do this is Off the Cuff Radio. And we know where we're going with this here.
Uh-huh.
Is it already a wrap for Vlad?
Well, but
Deputy Dude Dog lost 100,000 subscribers the other day.
Well, the fact is with Triple D is this. You know, 100,000 subscribers is significant, but it's not going to stop it. It's not going to be a full stop until, you know, I think until people really, really get out there and really, really start doing more videos, putting the boycott on them. And it's been intense. The pressure has been there in terms of what people have been saying. But it's going to take a lot more. It's going to take people to really, really say, like, we not really fucking with this dude. You know, it's just what it is. And these people are going to have to stand by it.
You got to stick to your guns. It can't be no situation where, yeah, I'm going to speak up against it, and then your mans go up there on the show, or, you know, just do a little promo run. Y'all got to keep that same energy. And even when you don't have to go on the show, there's many shows out there that you can go to, like us, of course. There's a lot of black content creators out there. You know what I'm saying? Deputy Dude Dog isn't the be-all, say-all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something that, you know, he got a name, you know, and that's something that, you know, did he have a move? You know, did he have a presence? Sure he did. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten to where he did. But the reality is he just had a movement. He did not have the definitive movement. And, you know, this is, if we look at it, King, from a certain level, this is somewhat of a culmination of everything we've been saying for years about him. It's in terms of, you know, does Vlad do his research like a journalist does? Yes, he does. In terms of what a journalist is supposed to be knowing his information, he does what he's supposed to do. But, of course, Vlad will say things and go into people's personal history, and we will say this on the air. We don't necessarily feel should be said. If you're talking to an artist about their music, then let's keep it about the music. Let's talk about them in terms of what they're doing musically, not talking about their criminal history or certain situations that could get them caught up. Let's be professional. Let's be courteous. Just because you know something about somebody doesn't mean you have to say it. We've known stuff about some of our guests that were very personal. Did we say it on air? No, we did not. Because we are being respectful of our guests. There's a fine line between in-depth journalism and dirty mudslinging, and that's not what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, Vlad got himself.
But you know what's crazy is, what's crazy is that he wants to probably have this interview with a minister, and I'm like, how in the hell would this? But his mediocre style, interview style, he's going to hang with that.
Farrakhan.
Can you imagine how the conversation was going to start?
Farrakhan, the thing is, Farrakhan ain't even going to get loud with him. Farrakhan is just going to surgically snatch him. He's just going to surgically cut him and then snatch his soul completely.
And the cold part about it, it'll probably go like this. All right, here we are. We got the minister, Louis Farrakhan, in the building. And Farrakhan hit you with all the respect of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I am welcome to be here on this show to teach the masses, to grab the masses. And, you know, he goes in and he smiles. Here come Deputy Doodog. So Tupac and Biggie get killed. And you were a mediator. Or he'll do this. Now, we had BG Knockout on the show, and he said some interesting things about the Nation of Islam. And he'll play the clip, and then he'll go back and say, your thoughts. Like, we already know your format, dude.
Well, I mean, I mean, hey, you know, we could only hope just to see how karma plays out.
There's no way with his style of interview, his Bush League interview skills going to hang with him. There's no way.
Nah, Farrakhan going to cut up that Bush League for real. It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. Because
even though he said he's not doing interviews no more, Deputy Dudog ain't going to built for that. That's way out of his league.
Nah. Wait a minute. Who said they're not doing interviews anymore?
The minister ain't doing interviews no more.
Okay, so I don't know. Farrakhan might come out of retirement for interviews just for that one alone, just to serve him up one good time to let him know. You don't mess with the minister. You don't mess with the nation. So he may be persuaded to come out, you know, and handle that one last, you know, one good time just to let him know.
And give Deputy, let me see, this is where another black channel got a co-sign. Like, look, we need some of this clout, too. Deputy Dudog ain't going to just take it all. Hell no.
Look, King, you figure Vlad hears this. You know, we already talked about how it's going to go down once you get on this platform.
Yeah. I'll throw the hell out of Vlad, man.
Vlad, if you're listening, you know, we're offering. We're offering to come, you know, Off the Cuff Radio is offering to come on, and hey, you know, that's all I'm going to say. We made the offer. So,
you know what I'll do? I'll be like, so this is the part of the interview where you're going to play another rapper talking about something, and you expect me to shit on him, right?
Right.
And you sit back and make all the money. This is the part of the interview, right? Everybody, you know, we're going to get this nigga out of here.
Look, give him the hook. But yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so what are you going to do? He'll play a clip of a rapper. Now, Boosie had this to say about this topic. You play Boosie's all right, so you spend the shit on, right? Right, that's
man,
how you get down. You like, you want to see the niggas fight while you make all the money, huh?
Well, one thing about
I'll tell
it,
them that on the air.
Boosie. number one, we respect Boosie first and foremost. Shout out to Baton Rouge, you know, and little Boosie, man. We got nothing but love for them, man. You know, so it's like you gotta let it know. We gotta let them know. We not gonna be on that show dissing nobody. That ain't what we do here. But yeah, it'll be look. We can hope. Now, look, King, I'm gonna let you go up there, and I'm just gonna let you just handle all that. I don't think you would have any problem with that. I think you would have that way better than I would.
Oh man, master trolling. Like, so this is this part of interview when you bring up Pop, right?
Oh boy. It's gonna be something to see. I tell you.
I'm about to sign this out a little bit early. We're gonna be back Sunday night. We got a double header on deck.
Yep.
And we're gonna definitely get the Fred Joe Star interview on the way, man. It's gonna go down soon. It's just probably something came up. You know how you never know what live radio sometimes it things like this happen. But we're gonna definitely get that thing on the way for y'all. And
definitely,
we got a lot
more
surprises coming. So tune in Sunday night. We got a double header going down, and I'm about to be up out of here.
Yep.